Chapter 15. Parallel Universes. In this chapter, what a theory of everything should be like. The string landscape. Multiple types of multiple universes. The anthropic principle. Which of the following would be creepier? An identical copy of you on an identical copy of Earth somewhere out in deep space? A nearly identical copy of you, differing only in eye color, but otherwise the same? Or a creature so unlike you, not even having eyes, made up of particles so alien that you could never meet without instant death to you both? These situations sound like science fiction stories, but your doppelgangers might really exist out there, located in parallel universes that make up a grand multiverse. The idea of parallel worlds is one of the most controversial aspects of string theory. Yet the alternative is weird, too, that our world is preordained right down to the last detail, leaving no scope for historical processes that might turn out differently in different regions of space. So many ways to make a universe. It's sometimes said that the ultimate goal of physicists is to revolutionize the fashion industry. They seek to boil the entire physical world down to equations compact enough to silkscreen onto a t-shirt that all the cool kids would wear. Actually, though, physicists' sartorial ambitions are more modest. They hope to create a theory that won't even need a shirt to write it on because it's so blindingly obvious. Obvious? Given the difficulties they're having in figuring out quantum gravity, it must be one of those things that's obvious only in hindsight. But physicists hope that once they know the trick, all else will follow as a matter of course. They'll find that things are as they are because there's no other way they could be. You'll finally have answers to imponderable questions, such as why people talk on their cell phones while driving. It'll be a consequence of the mathematics as surely as the symbol pi is. Over the years, people have put forward philosophical and theological arguments for why the deepest theory should be unique and self-evident. The best evidence, though, may simply be past experience. It's hard to create a consistent theory in any branch of physics because beautiful hypotheses have a nasty habit of collapsing under the weight of their own internal contradictions. In fact, physicists take perverse pleasure from the fact that a quantum theory of gravity is taking so long to figure out. When they do figure it out, they'll have some confidence it must be right, because there probably won't be any alternative. That was the original hope of string theory. It got a boost in the mid-1990s when theorists caught sight of a unique formulation, M theory. But we have a wee little problem. How does this theory relate to the world we actually see? It involves 10 dimensions of space, yet we see only 3. Our world is no more than a pale shadow of the full reality. Our 3D hands can cast a huge variety of 2D shadows on a movie screen. Similarly, as we translate from the glorious, unique theory to the messy, observed world, the theory becomes progressively less able to predict what we'll see. When we flatten one of the dimensions, leaving 9, M-theory gives rise to not one, but 5 consistent versions of string theory. Continuing, we find hundreds of thousands of ways, or more, to fold up the remaining 6 extra dimensions. For the extra-dimensional space to hold its shape, it must be pinned down by crisscrossing forces that act like invisible threads. This can happen in so many ways that string theorists have lost count. In each of these shapes, strings vibrate somewhat differently, leading to a distinct pattern of particles and forces. In one shape, gravity might be so strong that the whole universe is a heaving mass of black holes. In another, observable space might have only 2 dimensions. In a third, drivers might actually pay attention to the cars around them. String theorists call the full set of possibilities the landscape, a term borrowed from evolutionary biology. The name refers to the abstract graph used to represent the full gamut of shapes. Definition: the string landscape is the diversity of possible shapes that the hidden dimensions of space could have. Each shape corresponds to a different set of particles and forces in 3D space. Most of the shapes are unstable, and space thrashes around until it settles into one of the stable shapes, where the natural dynamism of the space is restrained by forces within it. The stable shapes are represented by a valley in the landscape. All the valleys seem roughly equivalent. Some are cozier than others, but string theorists have yet to find one that is the clearly preferred resting place for space. So they don't know why our universe is the way it is. Planning for every contingency. Skeptics of string theory think this proliferation of shapes is reason enough to dump the theory in the same big pile as all the other beautiful hypotheses that have collapsed over the years. String theorists, however, think the fault lies in their original criterion for success. Maybe they were wrong to expect that the ultimate theory would determine the world uniquely. After all, other theories of physics allow for a multiplicity of outcomes, too. Consider the classic physics t-shirt that shows the equations of electromagnetism, below which is the caption, "And then there was light." The equations look gnarly, but are actually pretty simple once you know how to read them. Based on them, you could describe every light beam that has ever glinted in your eye, every radio broadcast you have ever heard, and every comb that has ever made your hair stand on end. How can one little set of equations do all that? How can simplicity capture complexity? The answer is that it can't. There's a conceptual division of labor. The equations can determine the behavior of light, but you have to set them up with starting conditions. For a radio broadcast, you must specify the signal, the type of antenna, the atmospheric conditions, and so on. Much of the complexity is tucked inside those circumstances which have nothing to do with light, per se. Scientists and philosophers call them contingent. Definition: a contingent situation didn't have to be the way it is. It reflects the way that history unfolded. In physics, as in everyday life, many of the things that seem to happen on purpose really happen by accident. As they say, never ascribe to malice what you can ascribe to incompetence, and never ascribe to design what you can ascribe to luck. People long ago thought the orbits of the planets in our solar system were preordained by geometric principles. It turns out they're largely contingent. Planets around other stars are arrayed differently, reflecting the amount of material in each system, the type of star, the random effects of nearby stars, and countless other circumstances. The laws of physics set general limits, but allow for a huge number of detailed arrangements. Quantum theory adds another level of happenstance. Not only do you need to seed the theory with starting conditions, but you also have to relate its predictions to your observations. An element of randomness rears its head. Physicists think that random quantum processes occurring at critical junctures in the history of the universe set many basic properties of the world. Take the eternal mystery of physics, the fact that toast tends to fall with the buttered side down. As physicist Robert Matthews of Aston University in England has shown, the mass of the proton is largely to blame. This particle weighs 1,836.15 times as much as the electron. Why? There's no known reason for it. It appears to have settled into that value at random. Physicists have looked for patterns and ratios among the masses of particles and have found none. It's as though objects, lacking any specific instructions, chose what to do on their own. In the loop. Not only is it possible that what we now regard as arbitrary initial conditions may ultimately be deduced from universal laws, it is also conversely possible that principles that we now regard as universal laws will eventually turn out to represent historical accidents. Steven Weinberg, University of Texas, Austin. In this context, the string landscape fits right in. If planetary orbits and particle masses are contingent, why can't the shape of extra-dimensional space be too? In this view, the details of the observed particles and forces don't reflect any deep principles of mathematics. They're just the ones we got stuck with. We can draw one of three conclusions. Somebody goofed. Maybe the landscape is a mirage, and if physicists keep plugging away, they'll find a unique outcome after all. The landscape could have an especially welcoming valley where the observed universe naturally ends up. Or a more sophisticated analysis might find that M-theory, or one of the alternatives to string theory, explains the Standard Model straight away with no role for contingency. We'll never know why. Our universe just settled into one shape at random, and that's that. The Standard Model is a brute fact, or divine imperative beyond our capacity to fathom. Definition: a brute fact has no deeper rational explanation. It just is. We live in one universe among many. If the ultimate theory doesn't have any way to choose among the possibilities, then they must all have happened. Every one of them. Time will tell which of these is right. For now, the third option looks the most promising scientifically. It's very hard to write down a theory that generates everything we see and nothing besides. Our observable universe may be just one of countless universes within a space so vast that your brain will explode all over this audiobook and create a hideous mess if you try to imagine it. Parallel universes have jumped out of science fiction novels into textbooks, and the real version is even more mind-bending than the fictional. Making the possible real. People have long speculated about multiple universes, but modern cosmology makes them more plausible than ever. Various processes naturally create them. We don't even need string theory. Current theories are quite enough. According to relativity theory, for example, space tends to grow and pinch off to form new regions. It'd be a bigger mystery if other universes didn't exist. Something would have to restrain space from doing what comes naturally. Cosmologists used to define the universe as everything there is, but nowadays they distinguish between our universe, the part we can directly see, other universes, volumes of space comparable to ours, and the multiverse, an entire collection of universes. We even have different types of multiverses. Definition: the observable universe, or simply our universe, is the sum of all we can see, which is not necessarily all that's out there. The multiverse is the larger grouping of which our observed universe is only a part. Cosmologist Max Tegmark of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology classifies them in four levels, which get progressively more expansive. Level 1. Space beyond our horizon. From the top of the Empire State Building, you can see about 50 miles. As much as New Yorkers may like to think they're the center of the world, even they wouldn't claim that Earth stops at their horizon. Similarly, astronomers can see about 47 billion light years, which is as far as light has traveled since the start of the Big Bang, taking into account the expansion of space. But who's to say space stops there? How far does it go? From the Empire State Building, you could in principle survey the vista to deduce Earth's curvature and therefore its size. Astronomers likewise have measured the curvature of the universe by surveying the cosmos. Specifically, they look for signs that light rays traversing the universe bend in a long arc. Such bending would have a funhouse effect, causing distant galaxies and pre-galactic scraps of matter to appear abnormally large or small. Nothing like that has shown up. If the universe is a giant sphere, it must be at least 1,000 times bigger in volume than the current universe. All tangled up. Could the universe be smaller than it looks? If it had a curious donut shape, light wrapping around it could produce the illusion of immensity like a mirrored elevator or dressing room. But then astronomers should see repeated patterns of celestial bodies, and they don't. By the best current measurements, even a donut-shaped universe must be at least 40 billion light-years in radius. So at least 1,000 parallel universes are out there beyond the range of our vision. The number could well be infinite. Those other universes should be pretty much the same as ours. The main difference is their initial endowment of matter, which was set by random processes at the dawn of cosmic history. Over billions of years, the varying matter endowment led to diverse arrangements of galaxies, stars, and planets. If space is infinite, things get truly mind-blowing. There are an infinite number of planets, an infinite number of Earths, and an infinite number of people who go by your name. So what distinguishes fact from fiction? Every story you can tell, as long as it doesn't violate the laws of physics, occurred for real on one of those other Earths. Everything that can be, is. Level 2. Bubble Universes. On the vastest scales, not only does the initial endowment of matter vary, but even the observed laws of physics could as well. The key is the process of cosmic inflation, the explosive expansion that our universe seems to have undergone long before stars and galaxies formed. Cosmologists think that inflation is actually the default mode of space. The high energy conditions at the dawn of time ignited it, and it perpetuated itself in a chain reaction. In some isolated bubbles, though, inflation burnt itself out, and matter had a chance to gain a foothold. Our universe and its neighbors were one result. There's nothing to stop other bubbles from emerging, too. As long as the space between bubbles grows faster than new ones nucleate, inflation goes on forever and spawns an infinite number of bubbles. Quantum leap. Theorists speculate that bubble universes could pop up all over the place. The extreme conditions in a black hole, the irrepressible fluctuations of quantum fields, the high pressures in the laboratory of an advanced civilization, and the implosion of a universe might all reignite inflation and give birth to a baby universe. According to string theory, when a bubble first forms, the space within it has an unstable shape. The energy released by space as it thrashes around pumps up the volume of several of the dimensions. Inflation ends as space settles down. It can resume later because the default mode of space, even in the stable shape, is to expand. But each bubble settles down in its own way, leading to different sets of particles and forces. Even the number of visible dimensions could vary. In this way, inflation turns the full landscape of possibilities into reality. In our bubble, the proton is 1,836.15 times heavier than the electron. In another, it might be 459.038, which, all else being equal, would cause toast to fall with the buttered side up. Alas, you'll never be able to venture into that happy world of clean kitchen floors. Even if you managed to escape from our bubble, the workings of particles and forces would change as you entered the lifeless void outside it. No spacesuit could protect you from a metamorphosis in the very laws of physics. It wouldn't be pretty. Level 3. Quantum Many Worlds. In the movie Sliding Doors, Gwyneth Paltrow's character either catches a subway train or misses it. The film follows the two alternative ways her life could have unfolded, a happy one with a tragic ending and a sad one with a more hopeful ending. The film captures an important aspect of quantum theory. Everything not forbidden is compulsory. All the possible outcomes predicted by the theory behave as if they actually happen. The theory treats them on an equal footing. It doesn't single one out. The possibilities even affect one another through the behavior of quantum waves, which they wouldn't if they were purely hypothetical. That's as true in string theory as in standard quantum theory. All the possible shapes of extra-dimensional space behave as if they actually happen. If something behaves as if it's real, the most straightforward conclusion is that it is real. So we don't even need cosmic inflation to turn the string landscape into reality. We can think of the quantum possibilities as parallel universes existing not in ordinary space, but in a more abstract realm. Apart from their location, they are identical to the level 2 parallel universes. In fact, some physicists put 2 and 2 together. They argue that quantum theory is really a theory of parallel universes. This point of view, known as the many worlds interpretation, holds that there's no distinction between what's possible and what's real. Possibility is just existence in one of the parallel universes. Definition: the many worlds interpretation of quantum theory is a way of making sense of quantum randomness in terms of the existence of parallel universes. Quantum leap. Suppose you had a quantum coin, one governed by quantum effects rather than ordinary effects in the way you flip it. A particle can act like such a coin. Quantum theory says that after you flip it and catch it, but before you peek, it's both heads and tails at once. That sounds mysterious, but makes perfect sense if the coin is heads in half the parallel universes and tails in the other half. If you see heads, that just means you're sitting in a universe in the first group. So the many worlds interpretation resolves one of the nagging paradoxes of quantum theory, why we see a specific outcome even though the theory doesn't single one out. Level 4. The mathematical universe. There's an even broader conceivable type of parallel universe, not just with different allotments of matter or particle types, but with different fundamental laws. If M-theory rules our universe, Newton's laws might run the show in another, and Pythagorean geometry in a third. This idea comes in multiple versions. Tegmark has argued that the laws must at least be mathematically consistent. Others, such as the late American philosophers Arthur Lovejoy, Robert Nozick, and David Lewis, threw caution to the wind and speculated that absolutely anything goes. It sounds awfully weird, but what other options are there? If there aren't level 4 parallel universes, then what led nature to choose the laws that govern our universe? Are they the only laws that are internally consistent, or are they a brute fact? Whichever it is, I think we can safely bet that the answer will be weird. Types of multiverses. Level 1. Parallel universes, regions beyond our range of vision. What varies? Initial density of matter. Hollywood pitch. Groundhog Day meets the Library of Babel. Level 2. Parallel universes, bubbles in otherwise empty space. What varies? Types and properties of particles and forces. Hollywood pitch. A tale of 2 trillion cities meets worlds without end. Level 3. Parallel universes, quantum possibilities. What varies? Types and properties of particles and forces. Hollywood pitch. Sliding doors meets permutation city. Level 4. Parallel universes. Everything that is possible at all. What varies? Even the fundamental equations. Hollywood pitch. The Matrix meets Finnegan's Wake. The best of all possible worlds. What appeals to physicists about parallel universes is not just that string theory and other theories predict them, or that they make for great TV and movie plotlines, but that they explain certain otherwise baffling aspects of our universe. The Standard Model is filled with numbers such as particle masses that look as if they were chosen at random. Physicists can discern only one common thread running through them. Their values are connected to our own existence. If these quantities had been much different from what they are, our universe might have become a thin gruel of subatomic particles, or a dense soup of black holes. A shift of just a few percent in the strength of electromagnetism or the strong nuclear force would have created stillborn stars and scarcities of must-have elements such as hydrogen and carbon. Not only do the quantities have the right values to allow for our existence, but they also ensure that intelligence has some survival value. Nature may sometimes be capricious, but for the most part, it abides by rules we can grasp. And it didn't have to be that way. Entire books and websites have been written on these anthropic coincidences. Wikipedia has a good list of them. The multiverse neatly explains them. There's a huge range of universes out there, and we simply happen to live in a hospitable one. The idea sounds more palatable if we replace the word universes with planets. If Earth were the only planet in the entire universe, its habitability would be either a brute fact or a necessary consequence of the laws of physics. Neither is true. Astronomers know of hundreds of planets, and our galaxy alone could have billions, coming in a wide range of orbits and sizes. We live on a cozy one just because there's no place else we could. This kind of argument is known as the anthropic principle. At the very least, it cautions scientists that what they see may not be a representative sample of what is. Just because our planet or universe is comfy doesn't mean it had to be that way. Definition: anthropic coincidences are the fortuitous values of many crucial quantities in nature. Without these values, humans couldn't exist. The anthropic principle is the concept that we have to take our own existence into account when trying to explain the universe. The anthropic coincidence that has gotten the most traction concerns the notorious dark energy, the unknown form of energy that is causing the expansion of the universe to accelerate. Dark energy laid low for the vast bulk of cosmic history, but then began to exert its influence fairly late in cosmic history. Around the time, in fact, that our solar system formed. If it had arisen much earlier, it would have scattered material before galaxies had a chance to agglomerate and stars had a chance to rev up, and we wouldn't be here. Consequently, the density of dark energy must be incredibly small, just a hair above zero. Yet its most natural value is either exactly zero or extremely large. According to string theory, dark energy arises from the same process that inflation did, namely, the shape of extra-dimensional space. The Level 2 parallel universes have varying amounts of dark energy. The huge number of those universes implies a huge number of permissible amounts of dark energy, and that's just what we want. The more universes there are, the more likely one of them will have the right amount of dark energy to explain the coincidence. That said, not all properties of our universe make sense in terms of the multiverse. An example is the asymmetry of matter and antimatter. Matter didn't have to be so overwhelmingly dominant for us to exist. Cosmologists estimate that the relative amounts of matter and antimatter could vary by a factor of 10 million without making the universe inhospitable to life. There's no uncanny coincidence to explain. Maybe this is a property that happened on purpose, rather than by accident. Another example is the orderliness of the universe. Compared to what it could be, the cosmos is a neat freak. This is what differentiates past from future. Order naturally degenerates into disorder, whereas disorder just stays that way. For time to march on, it can't have reached the fully disordered state yet. Yet the universe is far more orderly than it needs to be for us to exist. The anthropic principle remains very controversial. Its detractors think that all the quantities of physics will ultimately prove, like the dominance of matter or the orderliness of space, not to be so coincidental after all. To them, appealing to a multiverse is little better than chalking it all up to a brute fact. Both answer why with a bleak because. But detractors and proponents agree on one thing. Physicists need to keep looking for a unique explanation of our world, because if they don't look, they'll surely never find it. Some say that an endless universe makes human life seem so insignificant. I think the opposite is true. It shows what a special place our Earth really is. If our planet had been an inevitable consequence of the laws of physics, it would cheapen the accomplishment that it is. Our world stands out all the more for the vast, lifeless void that surrounds it. The least you need to know. Arguably, the central question in physics today is which things are hardwired into the laws of nature and which are accidents of circumstance. String theorists originally expected everything to be hardwired, but now think that almost everything is accidental. Things may have played out very differently in other regions of space, creating a multiverse of parallel universes. The only explanation for many features of nature may be that they are preconditions for our own existence.